Native American realm, I wouldn't get accepted into shows because it wasn't native enough. And I'd say, when I not Aywa Inawak, I Yikima Umehoho, you know, which means I'm native, so why are you telling me this? And then this last garment that I made, I saved myself by going back to my roots. And then I was criticized as being Pocahontas. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Every once in a while, it's okay to pull out the native card because I'm actually, you know, a native.
On the next episode of Project Runway, Michaels will be flown to Paris to face yet another challenge. If she makes it through that round, she advances to the show's season finale. The show began with 16 contestants. Michaels is now in the final four. For National Native News, I'm Rita Daniels.
During this week in 2009, the Australian government adopted the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You know, I think too much whenever you're around. I get stuck on something and the words start coming, but it just can't make a sound. And then I talk too much the second that I leave, about all the things I'll never say, about all the things you can mean to me. But it's fine, 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 just fine. You're looking like you're thinking about being mine for a little while, and I sure would am mine if you just hang around and keep making me feel fine.
Well, we can hang around this weekend and have Irene Muller make us feel fine. That's a great possibility. This is a concert that's going to be up at the Rec Center, the UAS Rec Center, tonight at 7 o'clock. And it's Irene Muller and the band, and this is part of a sort of the kickoff of a weekend of frenetic activity out of out of UAS. And
yeah.
Katie Bowsler, who handles publicity for the university, is here to tell us about 20 events that are happening all at once this weekend.
Yeah, just a few things going on. Tis the season. Spring has sprung, and it has definitely sprung at UAS. Thanks for having me on, Pat. Yeah, tonight, Irene Muller and her band, which includes Semi Burrows on guitar, Dale McFarlane on drums, and Simon Taylor on bass, are going to bring you the next generation of folk music with a little blues on the side. 7 o'clock, that's a free public concert at the UAS Rec Center. That's where commencement is held. That's a facility that UAS shares with the National Guard. And also, it's First Friday at the Rec, so there will be some art, photography, ceramics, jewelry, created by the UAS Rec Center staff, and that will also be featured. Now, Pat, this is our third of three in a row and final First Fridays at the Rec Center, kind of a thing we've been trying this spring, and just to get people out to UAS and to hear some great music and view some great art. I know everything's happening downtown, but you know what? If this is at 7 o'clock, it's all over here. Just head on out. Beautiful night. And this should be really fantastic because Irene Muller, you know, she's very young. She's brought up with the Folk Festival performing there. But she's got enough original music to make a CD, and she and her band have been working very hard this spring on this CD, and it's going to be released soon, so you can get kind of a preview tonight at the Rec Center at 7 o'clock.
She's got a great website. If you go out, there's a chance to really hear a lot of her music. She's got a lot of her music on the website, and that's really nice. All you do is just Google her name, and you wind up on this place where you can play 5, 6, 7, 8 of her songs.
Yeah, SoundCloud.
So, and it's just really...
Yeah, SoundCloud is a great resource for musicians. They can throw their music up online, and people can hear it for free. So that's pretty nice, But this is not the only thing happening tonight, Pat. like I said, we just the season, just right here at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center, starting at 4:30, is the annual UAS Juried Student Art Exhibition. This features our art students, and there's a guest juror this year from Fairbanks. She's Teresa Shannon. She will have judged pieces including painting, drawing, printmaking, sculpture, ceramics, photography, design, and Northwest Coast artwork. So we're really proud of our art department at UAS. For those of you who don't know, you can get a Bachelor of Art in Arts at UAS, and it's just a really thriving program, and this is a good opportunity to see what our students have created. Also, for those of you who want to have a wonderful dinner and raise some money for the alumni association, the alumni and friends from the University of West Southeast. They're having their annual silent auction, no host bar dinner at the Egan Library. It starts at 7, at 6 o'clock as far as the bar, and then 7 starts the dinner, and then there's a live auction and dessert auction beginning at 8. This is a really fun event, and it just transforms the bottom floor of the library. It's just gorgeous. It should be a beautiful
Robbie
night
Stell
for
was
it.
In about a week ago and yeah. talked about the event, and
yeah.
It just really sounds like a fascinating evening.
Yeah,
and the nicest thing
yeah.
is that the money all goes into a set of scholarships that are available to students not only who are coming in as freshmen, but also all the way up to seniors. So these are unlimited scholarships. You don't have to be in any particular major or anything like that.
Yes.
And they're really easy to apply for. So
well, thank
it's a
you.
Good place to put your money.
Thanks for that information. And tickets are $45 at the door, $35 for members of UAS alumni and friends. Then also at 6:30 tonight.
She also mentioned,
okay.
I'm sorry
yeah.
to interrupt you,
yeah.
but she also mentioned that you can save that money by joining. instead of paying $45, you join the thing.
Oh, there you go.
And then you're a member, and you get invited to the wine tasting and all of the other stuff.
Yeah.
And you get in the door for $35 in addition to your membership fee. So.
Okay.
Yeah, slick
right.
trick.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. It's
Sorry,
it's
go
a,
on. Tell
well,
us about
great,
Honors Symposium.
Alumni and Friends is a great resource, and it's a wonderful way to support the university here, whether you're an alumni or not. You can be a friend.
Yeah.
Now, this is the second weekend in a row, or Friday night in a row, we've had events in both the Egan Library and the Lecture Hall, and tonight is our first ever UAS Spring Honors Symposium. We have started an honors program with the initiative of Saul Neely, one of our philosophy and English professors. He's doing a fantastic job. And this is a fascinating topic. It's on transgenerational suffering. And that is the study of the post effects, if you will, on descendants of genocide survivors, Holocaust survivors, and a lot of people are. So this should be a very interesting discussion tonight. There's going to be two speakers tonight from Arizona State University's two visiting scholars, Patricia Huntington and Martin Matustic. And Patricia will be giving a talk based on her book called The Trauma of Gifted Children. In this, she explores the transmission of trauma in mother-daughter relations. And then Martin will be giving a talk called Out of Silence, Repair Across Generations. Fascinating personal story Martin has, which includes not knowing he was a Holocaust survivor until he was well into his 20s. And now, of course, this is his life's work exploring this transgenerational suffering. So this will be tonight, free, of course, 6:30 at the Egan Lecture Hall. And also, this symposium starts tonight. It goes for a full week. And Monday, I just want to give people a heads up, is a really, I think, probably first ever campus community and public discussion where the title is Haunting Legacies, Violent Histories, and Transgenerational Trauma. This will be 5:30 at the Rec Center again. And in this, the students from this reading seminar that they've been reading a book by Gabriel Schwab called Haunting Legacies, they'll be kind of leading a discussion on this. Our visiting scholars, Martin Matustic and Patricia Huntington, will be there, as well as a gentleman from the Sea Alaska Corporation, Patrick Anderson. And this is quite an event. It'll be 5:30 to 7. Abby's Kitchen will cater it. Doors will open at 5 for seating and food, and the program starts at 5:30. If you want more information about any of this, because there's quite a bit here with this honor symposium, you can go to the UAS website, uas.alaska.edu/honors. There's also a very detailed Facebook page, and that Facebook is just UAS Honors Symposium.
Great.
Huh, should I take a breath?
Yeah, one. But then you still got to tell us about the Chicken Summit. Come
right,
on now.
I got to tell you about the Chicken Summit. Yeah, Shauna Strauser will be here for details, but I do want to just say that tonight is the start of The Marriage of Betty and Boo, which is a Perseverance Theater collaboration with UAS, all UAS students performing. It's at 7:30 tonight and through the weekend. But like I said, Sean will have much
we'll
more information about that.
About just that. A minute or two, yeah.
Yes, but tomorrow, Saturday, is the Chicken Summit. Now, I know I've had great spots on the air with Darren and his chicken. This starts at 9 o'clock, and it's an all-day seminar, lectures, panel discussion, tours on if you want to raise some chickens and some eggs in your backyard. This is free for students, but it's $10 otherwise, and that's in the Egan Library. Starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. You can come in early at 8:30 and register. And there's also a Facebook page for that. There's a Facebook page for everything these days. I know, but some people aren't on it, but you can get more information. And then finally, Pat, tomorrow at 10 o'clock there is a Thane Beach cleanup. That is co-sponsored by our Marine Biology Club at UAS. They're joining NOAA in this, and this is an opportunity to join the coastal footprint movement. There's going to be a barbecue for participants. You get to clean up Thane Beach. You want to meet at the tram parking lot at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Outstanding. Underneath us, we're hearing a little bit of what's going to happen at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yes, this
at
is
the rec center.
This is Irene's beautiful song that she wrote for Buddy Tabor called All There Is.
All right, let's go out listening to that. Thank
All
you
right.
so much for updating us on UAS events.
Thank you, Pat.
And she's me just like me, only beautiful and free, and daughters of a time that's not ours. She is why people still look to the sky. She's a girl like an angel who just won't fall. Pretty soul, we've put flowers in your hands. Your heart is heavy now, they've let you be. Pretty stranger, you're a lot like me. We use our voices and our broken hearts to see. Try like you've tried to keep the brokenness inside. I'm a shell now disguised as something whole. But she smiles, oh she smiles, and I'd hate to see her cry. She'll be young even as the sun gets colder. Pretty soul, we've put flowers in your hands. Your heart is heavy now, they've let you be. Pretty stranger, you're a lot like me. We use our voices and our broken hearts to see. Set aside for everything. Though we fight the beginnings and the promises we keep, there's a heart, she had a heart, didn't know where to start. You are the difference between faith and sympathy. Pretty soul, we put flowers in your hands.
Pretty Soul, Irene Miller and band, they'll be at the UAS Rec Center tonight at 7 o'clock. It's the first Friday concert out at UAS, so after you get done with the downtown walk around, then step right on out to UAS and show up at the Rec Center for a live concert with Irene Miller and her band. Right now, we have a chance to talk to some other UAS folk who are about to put on, I guess you open tonight, The Marriage of Bette and Boo. This is a play by Christopher Durang, which won practically every award that the stage can win the first minute after it played.
Very popular.
So the voice you're hearing is Shona Strausser, and with her are Chris Sim, who is playing Mark, and Mel Scriven, who is playing Joan, which are two of the characters, neither Bette nor Boo, but nonetheless, this is an interesting story. And the thing that fascinated me the most is he wrote it in such a way that there's 33 scene changes in the course of the play.
Yeah, it's a little intense.
So you got two actors and 275 stage crew, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's got to drive a truck.
I know.
So where are you putting this on?
Oh, well, we're doing it in the Hendrickson Building. Mel, do you want to tell us about what that's all about?
Yeah, so it's done at UAS in the Hendrickson 113.
Hendrickson 113 is like a classroom space, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but we've got...
a nice theater space there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The last year for a production we did over there... I spent a lot of time with my cohorts at Perseverance Theater.
And we should mention, you have a special role at Perseverance Theater. It's not every play company that has an education director.
But
that's your job.
That's my job,
To bring these folks into the fold a little bit.
That's
here.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's just, to educate people about theater. The Perseverance folks and... myself and then some folks at UAS, we actually renovated that space a lot. We painted it, we put in new lighting equipment, and so now it's actually a fully functional theater space.
Okay, in a classroom space. So how many people can you see?
We're gonna go over about 40.
Oh, okay. Hey, not bad. Is this theater in the round, or is it
It's a Proscenium.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, so now, up on this stage, do you have curtain?
No, we do not. We have a very, very small backstage area that we have built with...
0.01 micron thick for very thin people.
Our backstage space is behind walls that people in our class designed the idea. Since it's a production class, they did the set design. And so what they put together, that's where we have to go backstage.
Now, I'm noticing you've got some people who are in the play who are also, Taylor Vittick, who's starring in the thing, also did your scenic design. And other people, so you and Chris, you were part of the lighting design crew, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so a lot of the people who are going to be on stage actually built the stage.
That's part of, it's a class, it's a UAS production class.
Okay.
And because of that, everybody in the show then needed to actually do the production elements. So they've learned how to do costumes and lights and sets and sound and all of it.
Okay, so what's your prior acting experience?
I don't have any past professional experience, but a lot of community theater. I used to lived in Modesto, California for a long time, moved up to Anchorage 2 years ago and did some ATY productions, Anchorage Theater of Youth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my first year at UAS, first year in Juno, and I'm really excited for it.
How about you, Chris?
Well, all my brothers and sisters were kind of like entertainers, just always doing things like that. I've done some improv-ing in high school, like further years back, and I've done some, like a show or two at Hunter College, and because I'm from New York City. And here I did a musical at Thunder Mountain High School, actually directed by Shona Strausser, and it was called Grease.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So now what are you majoring in?
I don't have a major. I'm undecided, actually.
So you're kind of cruising through the arts
just
a little
bit. Just cruising on through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, good thing too. How many years have you been doing the college thing?
This is actually my second semester.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So not directional yet.
No,
But enjoying the picking. Huh?
Uh-huh, definitely.
How about you?
I'm majoring in English. This is my second semester. So.
Okay. Okay, and Shona, what are you majoring in now?
theater. Pretty much.
Theater, and theater.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Now, Marriage of Bette and Boo.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about the plot line.
Well, Mel, you want to fill us in?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so what goes on here?
It's a bit complicated, but it's the marriage of Bette and Boo. We start off seeing the characters Bette and Boo. They're getting married. Families are coming together for the wedding. And then we go on from there, and we've got Matt, played by Chris, is doing, you know, narrating so that we move very quickly through those 33 scenes. We go through 30 years
of
their life.
Yeah, basically through my character. His name is Matt, or a.k.a. Skippy. And it's seen through his eyes. He's basically reconstructing, like, his memories of the things that have happened in his lifetime and before he was born. And it's a dysfunctional family, and he's basically just trying to escape that, you know, through all these novels that he's reading and all these essays and through his education, he's trying to kind of hide his past, you know.
So here's Robert Brustein, who was a reviewer for The Nation magazine when this play first came out. And he wrote, "A remorselessly sad, achingly funny assault on the vanities, inanities, and insanities of family life. All of Durang's works have been satires built on a mound of pain. But Bette and Boo represents a greater effort to leaven this pain with understanding. A new poignancy has entered his work, universal in its appeal." That's a terrific review. Would you like to get that on your opening night? Tell me about this mound of pain.
Well, the characters...
they go through a lot.
And Bette, you know, it's the marriage of Bette and Boo, and Bette specifically, she loses 4 children and stillbirth. And so that's actually the major mound of pain, alcoholism. And, of course, in Christopher Durang, you know, he writes satire, and it's told in this very... in a funny, crazy way. And so it's not about watching a drama unfold at all. It's watching comedy. And so, and then at the end, I mean, I won't totally give it away at the end, but it does come full circle. And I think that's what the reviewer is just talking about, poignancy.
So this is going to be a challenge for you because you're really Durang's voice.
Exactly.
Okay. So, and you're how old?
I'm 18. I'll be 19 very soon.
Okay. So how do you, I mean, I think, I'd feel comfortable trying to do that, but I've got 50 years on you, kid. So the question is, how do you get there? I'm assuming you have, because
I think that Shona typecasted this entire thing, and she knew what she was doing, because actually, I mean, I don't want to go into it, but I mean, I've lived a very interesting life in New York City. You know, and I've only been here for 1 year and 5 months, so I can definitely...
you can draw into.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I sing a lot, and so I kind of, you know, I think I can embody his voice.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
I believe in myself.
Okay. I'm not accusing you of anything. it's a challenge. I mean, you've got to do something that really somebody who's like in his 50s would probably feel comfortable doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely a challenge.
Yeah. Tell me about Joan.
Joan definitely is a bit...
she's not either one of these key characters,
no,
so
she's
who
not.
Is she?
No, she's not. She's Bette's sister.
Okay.
And she's married to Nikos, who we never see in the production, but her family doesn't particularly like Nikos. So there's a reason we never see Nikos, you know. We get the feeling he doesn't really like Joan either at this point. she's very snappy. She's very irritable. And she just comes on and likes to yell at people a bit. it's a little bit frustrating that her character doesn't quite come full circle. But
it's interesting because Joan, your character, is actually the complete antithesis of what Bette wants her life to be. And Joan, because Joan can have babies, and she has them
more
than she wants. And so we watch kind of Joan be really frustrated with her life and child. You know, caring and Bette watching the struggle of that, actually. So that's and in a comical way again, of course.
Yeah, I want to know how you picked this. Why this play? And I mean, did they vote or something? Or
we
voted.
Okay, so so in the process, they read a set of plays. Is that?
We went off of I don't never know how many people are in the class until right before the class starts. So I come in with kind of a cross section of plays, and then we break it down by who wants to be in the show and who doesn't, and you know how, and then kind of what show. And the reason this show is because I mean, I usually choose plays that are interesting and zany and a little strange and funny.
But you've done comedy mostly.
I do a lot of comedy.
Except for your last role, which was way far from that.
Not so comedy. Okay. But in college is great because you don't rely on audiences to pay the bills. And because of that, you get to choose really interesting, different things that not necessarily will sell main stage season tickets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I feel like for young people, and I remember when I was in college, I liked to do the crazy weird things. I still like to do the crazy weird things. but the opportunities to do them as a professional, you know, theater person are slimmer. You know? So I think that's, you know, a great reason to.
Okay, so I'm hearing a lot of excitement here, but I have a question for you too. You know, there are all these websites where you can go on and you can slam your instructor. You've seen this, right? The ones where you can review your instructor.
I've never used one of them.
So my question is, if you went on one of those sites, what would you have to say about Sean?
Number one, I've never heard of that in my life.
You've never heard of me?
No, and number two, Shona is all knowing. She knows everything.
I'll
so
pay
there's
you later,
no way
Chris.
I would get
I'll
away
pay
with
you
that.
Later.
She'll wake up from a dream and say, "You did this." Shona is.
Give her five stars. Take this class.
Don't cross
those of you on Radio Land can't see the $20 bills moving from one
to the other. Exactly.
She said, "Come on, Chris. Come on, do it."
Listen,
this is great. It's tonight at 7.
7:30,
right? And you're on tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday. You got a matinee or in there, or is it all evening performances?
All 7:30.
All 7:30. Okay, is there a charge?
It's $5 for UAS students and $10 for non-students.
And the tickets are at the door, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is cool.
Yeah, we're good.
Cool. I gotta come up and see this theater thing with the incredibly small backstage.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone has to walk sideways.
Yes.
I worked in a theater like that once in my life. Okay, listen, everybody ought to go see this. It's The Marriage of Bette and Boo. It's at 7:30 Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Shona Strausser directed the thing with a cast of thousands. actually, I think there's 11 people on stage at one point or another here.
Exactly.
That's
Chris
true.
Basically doing a narrator gig, and the sister Joan with all the kids is here in the studio with us and like that. So, listen, great undertaking. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And Shona's going to be back with us later in the show here. She's talking about another project. This lady is super busy. So let's go to Writer's Almanac, and then we'll come back with another guest, and then Shona will be back with us.
This is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 5th of April, 2013. It's the birthday of Thomas Hobbes, Westport, Wiltshire, England, 1588, who witnessed a chaotic time in English politics, two civil wars, the execution of the king. He wrote his most famous book, Leviathan, in the midst of it, in which he argues that people need a strong central authority to keep them from collapsing into war and chaos. A world with no arts, no letters, no society, and which is worst of all, continual fear and danger of violent death, and the life of man solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. He believed that because we don't share the same ideas about what's right and wrong, we need a sovereign to enforce a set of laws. It's the birthday of the poet Algernon Charles Swinburne, London, 1837, born to the aristocracy, so he never had to work for a living, which gave him the freedom to be outrageous. He had wild red hair, he drank to excess, he screamed his poetry aloud while he was skipping around the room, and he wandered around Oxford at night screaming blasphemies, wrote poems about sex and sadomasochism and vampires, which shocked the Victorians and which nobody has read ever since. It's the birthday of the father of antiseptic medicine, Joseph Lister, born in Upton, England, 1827. He was a surgeon at the Glasgow Royal Infirmary, where about half of all patients in surgery died later of what was called ward fever. The prevailing theory of infection was that it was caused by miasma, or bad air. But Lister thought that infection might be caused by an invisible dust like pollen, so he experimented with using carbolic acid to clean wounds, and he required his surgeons to wash their hands before and after surgery, which was completely new at the time, and the mortality rate in his ward dropped to 15%, and a couple years later, down to 5%. And it's the birthday of Robert Bloch, born Chicago 1917, the novelist who created the psychopathic killer Norman Bates in his novel Psycho, which Alfred Hitchcock made into a famous movie. Robert Bloch, who liked to use comedy in his stories, he said, "Comedy and horror are opposite sides of the same coin. I have the heart of a child. I keep it in a jar on my shelf." Here's a poem for today by Louise Glick, Primavera. Spring comes quickly. Overnight, the plum tree blossoms. The warm air fills with bird calls. In the plowed dirt, someone has drawn a picture of the sun with rays coming out all around. But because the background is dirt, the sun is black. There is no signature. Alas, very soon, everything will disappear, the bird calls, the delicate blossoms. In the end, even the earth itself will follow the artist's name into oblivion. Nevertheless, the artist intends a mood of celebration. How beautiful the blossoms are, emblems of the resilience of life, the birds approach eagerly. Primavera, a poem by Louise Glick from her poems 1962 to 2012, published by Farrah, Straus & Giroux, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to, thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Produced by Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
About 28 minutes before 4 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Looks like the weather forecast is going to call for maybe it's going to rain and snow later tonight, which is a shame because my guests right now in the studio are up here visiting, and we promised them that it would be sunny the whole time that they were here or that she was here. My guest is Joe Packham, and Joe is going to do a presentation as part of a women's expo. Jetta Whitaker's here in the studio with her. She was on the show on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we talked about the great set of events that's going on over at Centennial Hall through the whole day of Saturday. But the highlight of it is going to be when you take over the speaker position and talk about entrepreneurship. A word about Jo. She's editor of a group of a publishing business. She's also an author of many, many books on various aspects of creativity for women. And so you're going to talk about what?
We're going to talk about being a woman small entrepreneur. I think this is the time, and the opportunities are better than they've ever been. So we're trying to help women work a little bit smarter and not just a whole lot harder.
Now, you started out in a retail shop.
I did.
And basically, probably through a combination of boredom and realizing that wasn't the total direction of your life, you moved toward this other thing.
I did. I'm not a retailer. I'm not a brick-and-mortar gal. That is hard, hard, hard work. And so we sold art supplies, and we saw a trend coming through in a certain craft, and I thought I'd rather more money in wholesaling than retailing, so we decided to get into book publishing. I'd never done it, but I thought, like every entrepreneur, you know, I can certainly figure it out. So I did, and that was 35 years ago. And I've been in publishing ever since.
Okay, Joe, this is the electronic age, and publishing is gone. It's dead. Come on, get real, right?
No.
No.
It is gone for some. What it's done for us as the electronic age is, if it's informational, if it's only words, then people have gone to the web. So magazines like Newsweek and Time are getting smaller, and they're going to go strictly electronic here, we think, for a while, as are novels. But what it's done for the rest of the publishing world, if it's a pretty book or a cookbook or a coffee table kind of book or a really nice fashion magazine, the technology actually hasn't caught up to printing yet, because download's too slow. You can't flip back through the pages. There's lots of problems. Plus, people want to hold it in their hand. So it is actually, we are actually doing better than we have ever done before.
So when you came in, great line, she says, "Are you married?" And she said, "No, it's not a pickup line. I have some magazines that would be of more interest to your wife than to you." And so I have in front of me Where Women Create, and Where Women Cook, and Where Women Create Business. I'm seeing a theme in the titles here, but these are these magazines are running about 150, 160 pages a piece. They're filled with beautiful photography, amazing color photography. As I leaf through here, I'm wondering, I'm looking for pages and pages and pages of ads, which is what the magazine worked with. How do you deal with it? How do you do?
We follow a book model instead of an advertising magazine model. So what that means to the consumer is that we're a quarterly $15 magazine, and we rely on newsstand sales as if we were a book. The only difference is that we're on the magazine rack. So we have 9 pages of advertising in our magazines, but we actually give them away to the people, the small entrepreneurs that we feature or that we're working with, because we try in every way we can to help people promote their new businesses.
Did you develop this model, or are you copying somebody else's approach? Or
my publisher, Stampington & Company, who I partner with, Kellen Geloff, is a genius. And she, about 10 years ago, developed this concept when advertising was taking over the magazine world completely. And, of course, she went for funding, and she did all those kinds of things. Everybody told her she was crazy, that it would never work. You couldn't sell 176-page, $15 magazine on the newsstands continually month after month. But she is the most successful independent publisher in the country now. She has 38 magazines. 3 of them are mine, and she publishes them, prints them, sells them, and I do all the creative end. But she is the genius who created the concept.
So I guess if you hadn't met this woman, then could you have done this on your own?
I couldn't have done it on my own 7 years ago because I didn't know how. But because Kellen actually started it and is so successful at it, you will now see many, many magazines on the newsstands, Anthology, Folk, a lot of them, Sweet Paul. They're all following Kellen's business model because it is so successful. And the numbers are gauged differently. So I think it's the wave of the future. I mean, you don't have to sell as many. You're not dependent on people telling you what to do. You know, they're very focused. They're niche magazines, so they're very successful within a small group. They don't, you know, it's the difference between a small boutique and Target. So Country Living is Target, and we're, you know, your local boutique.
One of the most intriguing things, I think, for people when they think of entrepreneurship is that coming with it is a sense of freedom. And I hear you laughing because we're both entrepreneurs, and we both know in our hearts of hearts that there ain't no freedom in there unless it's the freedom to work really hard. And I'm wondering how you approach that when you do a presentation.
My perspective is that passion has to be part of the paycheck. So the passion is the freedom, right? You can do exactly what you want. But it has to be worth it to you to do it 18 hours a day and sometimes do it for free. So we teach that you have to actually decide what you think your time is worth every day. If you're worth $50 an hour, then the passion has to be worth $50 an hour, because you're probably only going to make $4 or $5 above that when it's all said and done, by the time you've invested your savings and you've spent your 18 hours and your whole family's in there trying to get the product out, right? So if it's worth it to you on those terms, then for sure you should do it. But you have to decide that.
So how do you find the passion?
You don't find it.
Ah.
You just know. I believe entrepreneurs are born. I don't believe you become an entrepreneur. I believe you can become a businessman. You see a great opportunity. You can make the numbers work. You start a business. But entrepreneurs are a different breed. They've always got a new idea. They're always going a million miles an hour. Money is not the success way of measuring their success. It is just... They don't even know why they do it. It's just like, oh, my hell, I have this new idea, right, and I'm going to do it. And they're off. The hardest thing an entrepreneur has to do is focus and stay focused. So, and that's who we work with, are the entrepreneurs.
Now, you've used that term we about twice now. So there's an organization behind this talk you're giving.
There isn't. There's just me. But if I say we, then I don't feel so responsible.
So there's not a Joe Packham organized.
Yeah,
no. Okay.
But if I say we and somebody doesn't like it, I can say, well, she made me do it.
I'm loving your business model.
Thanks. It works.
Yeah, I guess it does. Okay, so this Women's Expo is tomorrow all day, right? It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning.
10 to 3.
Okay, and at 10 o'clock we have a welcome, and then at 10:30 we'll have the first drawing for door prizes while the JDHS dance team performs.
Right, we're going to actually open with the Yiska'u Native dancers at 10.
Okay.
And then the drill team will perform, or the dance team, and then the Juno Roller Girls are going to do a demonstration and explain about the roller derby and how it works. And then after that will be the Daughters of the New Moon belly dancers. And then we're going to have the genius behind Abby's Kitchen, Abby Roaha herself, who's a successful young entrepreneur in Juneau, give a talk about how she achieved her vision and dreams. And her mother, Narissa Beaver, will introduce her. So we've got a mother-daughter mm-hmm. activity going on. And then we'll have Joe Packham, who's going to be introduced musically by Taylor Vidic, a young guitar and singer here in Juneau. And then we'll close out the formal day with a big Zumba demonstration, dance, have fun and be silly all together. There actually is one other event that'll be taking place after 3 o'clock. Dr. Heidi Knoll is going to be presenting on women's ways of leading at 3:15. So it'll actually wrap up at 4 o'clock.
It sounds like a real growth opportunity for a lot of people to take advantage
of. Yeah, there's a lot to offer and a lot to learn.
Who's putting this thing on?
Well, the Bartlett Regional Hospital Foundation is the official sponsor of the event. And then we have several corporate sponsors who've contributed financially.
There's no charge for this, right?
No, it's underwritten. The cost of admission has been underwritten by Alaska USA. Big thank you to Alaska USA for their generosity.
Yeah. Okay. Joe, welcome to Juneau.
Thank you. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
I've had such a nice time.
We have mountains, you know, and glaciers and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. Be sure that you get out.
I borrowed my boots. Yeah.
I almost got a speeding ticket.
Yeah, and I borrowed my boots and went hiking in my dress.
Okay. Outstanding. Well, welcome. I hope it goes well for you.
Thank you.
We'll go out with a little music here, and then we'll have our last guest, Shona Strasser. Thank you, Joe, for coming
down.
Thank you, Pat.
incidental music today is being performed by the Dave Haskell Group. So it's about 10 minutes to 4. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. My next two guests are involved in a very interesting project at the Canvas. Shona Strausser, who was on the show just moments ago talking about the presentation, which opens tonight up on campus of the Marriage of Bet and Boo, is also involved in an innovative project at the Canvas. Getting those folks who have experienced disabilities down there into an acting position. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
And with her is Ruth Simpson, who is one of the, what did you call yourself?
I'm an art assistant there.
She's
at the Canvas.
She's an art assistant at the Canvas. There are two of you. Mm-hmm. Who do, Susie Elliott Fellow?
Lou Ajur.
Okay, yeah.
Ajay.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So how did this come about?
Well, it's pretty interesting. So this is actually the fifth year of the partnership, and M.K. McNaughton used to work at the Canvas, and M.K., I had worked with her kids for a long time, and, doing theater and doing theater exercises, and M.K. says, hey, I'd love for you to come work with the folks here at the Canvas, the folks at Reach, and I'm like, great, okay, I'll do that. And then the first time I did it, it was like the best thing that ever happened to me. And then I just kept doing it. The collaboration kept going.
Let me back up just one step here. Every once in a while I say to somebody, it's the Canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And they give me this blank look. Maybe there's somebody out there who doesn't know what the Canvas is. Can
All
you
right.
kind of elaborate on why the Canvas exists and what it does?
You bet, Dave. I work in the DEHA program at the Canvas we do service artists that experience disabilities in a wide variety of different mediums. Their show tonight will be tonight. They have a First Friday show. And in addition to that, we have a community-based program. Our community members are more than welcome to look at our website for the upcoming classes. It can vary anything from oil painting, life drawing, to ceramics, to stained glass. People really need to look at the website. But we have an integrated program there with Reach. And so daily, our Reach artists come down. It varies from day to day, but some people come 4 days a week, some people come 2 days a week, but they all get to experience this wide variety of art. And one of the things that we have incorporated into that program is our acting class that Shona's led us through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been very exciting.
So Shona,
yeah.
What have you been doing with the acting class?
Well, we do, so it kind of depends. I kind of guide it to where the students want to go, also to how much time we have. In the past, we've done a lot of scripted work. We've created our own scripts. So we've done The Boy Who Cried Wolf. We've done Little Red Riding Hood. And we actually toured these to the schools. So we took one to the charter school. So we did a performance there. And then we've also, this year we've decided just to do improv. And these are a series of acting exercises that focus on improv. So improv is just thinking off the top of your head. And that's kind of what I really wanted to focus on. The very first year I did improv skills with them, and I actually had somebody come up to me and say, hey, this group did so well. It's actually a lot of the same people doing the class after 5 years, which is really cool. And that they really enjoyed the improv, and the group that I'm working with wants to do everything. They love the stage, and they're so good at it. So it's a great way to kind of just get on our feet and go for it. Yeah.
I certainly have seen our actors really blossom in the last 6 weeks. And people that might have been a little more shy or reluctant have stepped right up, and it's going to be a great performance.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of facility have you got to work with?
So we use the Canvas Studios. There's a studio there, and we clear out all the tables. So it's a regular art studio. And I would say the biggest challenge is the big open window that opens out onto the street, which is super cool.
So you can walk by and watch the...
Which is super cool for the, you know, for the art classes. And but it's really distracting. And for me, I'm like, woo, what's that? Who's that? You know? So that's been a challenge. But we can lower those blinds, and we just kind of go for it. And the thing that I find that is just the most it's a breath of fresh air for me is that the actress that I'm working with right now is that, you know, people will say, okay, this is a group with disabilities, right? But for me, it's an ability, and the ability is actually to think openly, from the heart, off the cuff, to think creatively and not have any other boundaries. Whereas I walk through the day and my creativity is stunted all the time by my own self. And so when I go to this class, it's the most amazing breath of fresh air, because anything can happen anytime, any day, and it does. Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, and for me, that is what art is, actually. That is like the heart of art for me. And so it's actually the most rewarding thing that I do in a week. Yeah, by far.
And I'm seeing a collaboration that needs to be forced here between you and Jump. You need to get the film people to come in and make a documentary of this. No, I'm serious, because I think that freedom is something that'll come right through. What's the guy that started the LARCH communities?
These are
religious communities where someone who is extremely disabled is paired with someone who's not.
Mm-hmm.
And his
mm-hmm.
famous statement is, "We're all disabled. It just shows on some of us."
Right.
I love that, because
mm-hmm.
it's true.
Right.
And what you're saying is one of the beautiful things about discovering that people who, you know, you look at them and you think, you know, they have a tough time through life, and then you discover they have joy, and their lives are full, and they look at you and they have that freedom that you're responding to mm-hmm. to be able to just respond to the world.
Yeah, and I the other thing is, like, at the very first I was really, really nervous. Like 5 years ago, mm-hmm. I was really nervous, and I had no. You know, after the first few weeks, I'm like, why am I nervous? Like, what's wrong with me? You know? And I realized that was actually just kind of like a social structure that was put in place, because there's really nothing to be nervous about hanging out with people and doing theater, which I do every day. So
we get to see this.
Yeah.
You're going up in public with this thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
this
tell
very
us about
evening. The performance will start at 7:30.
Okay.
There at the Canvas right after First Friday. We encourage anybody and everyone to show up. Our Canvas Players, that's the name they've chosen for their troupe, are really, really excited for this showcase.
Yeah.
And on behalf of the Canvas Players and all the Canvas staff, we really want to thank Shona for you know, walking us through this and giving them the inspiration that they are. And they are excited.
Cool.
When I first started watching Shona direct, you know, she will let people choose to come up. And at first it was a little slow, and the next week a little faster, and now it's almost everyone wants to volunteer at one time. So it's a really wonderful.
Outstanding. So there's a can at the door. You can pay as you can event. What's the money go to?
Toward our cabinets at the Canvas.
Outstanding. So furnishings for the cabinet. Okay, 7:30 p.m. tonight, Friday, April 5th, at the gallery. The Canvas Players will present their stuff that they've learned with Shona Strausser. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas, and we also broadcast on translators throughout the area in the Valley and Auk Bay. You can get a clearer signal on 103.1 megahertz in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, 103.1 on K276 AF. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, we're on K269 AO. It transmits on 101.7 megahertz. Gustavus listens on K201 AM at 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and IC Strait, we're on K210 AS at 89.9. So on Monday, Joan Pardis will be back, and she will have details about Saturday's Hospice and Home Cares Run Walk, preview of the Wednesday Juno World Affairs Council presentation on the Arctic by Alice Rogoff, and musicians Ed Littlefield and Christian Fabian will be here to highlight their native jazz concert. That'll happen Monday night at the Jack.